I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's emp180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. We'll get back into the NBA and LeBron moving to L.A. Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington going to join us at 8 o'clock. Andrew Sharp from Sports Illustrated at 9 o'clock. But we wanted to get back into the Washington Nationals. We spent some time talking about last week, Jason, before they had the four-game series with the Phillies. Mm-hmm. They had been floundering. They'd been shut out over a course of 16 games, I think six times. The offense wasn't going. But there was hope heading into the Philly series because Philly was one of those teams that was ahead of them. They entered, I think, the four-game stretch just three or four games back in the division with Philly just like a half game ahead of them, and they lose three out of four to the Phillies. And I continue to obsess with the offense. Bryce Harper hitting .216. Mm-hmm. Daniel Murphy's at .182, and during the break we were talking about the catching situation. I mean, Pedro Severino is hitting .170.
Yeah.
Well, they have so many
Pedro
guys.
Pedro Severino is supposed to be our backup.
I understand that, but they have so many guys in the lineup that are struggling that Soto, who's a phenom, a 19-year-old phenom, was batting third yesterday.
And he went 0 for 6. Yesterday was so hot up there in Philly. I mean, those guys were just gassed. Had to have been, especially when you go 13 innings. In the month of June, they were 9. I want to say they were 9 and 16 in the month of June. So you add yesterday. So 9 and 17 in the last 26 ball games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, look, Nats fans certainly expected a different result through July 1st.
When
no
we
doubt.
Talked about this last week with callers, and we can throw it out there again, 800-636-1067. I know I put a question up on Twitter at Junks Radio. How do they turn the season around?
By the way, Bryce Harper is now batted leadoff, second, third, fourth, and I think yesterday he batted fifth.
Yes.
So they're shifting him all over the lineup.
Right, and by the way, the job that Dusty Baker did that wasn't good enough, where the team won 95 and 97 games while he was here, they're on pace to win 83 under Davey Martinez. That is a precipitous drop-off.
A lot of negativity.
If it ends up in that range.
You got half the season left. You can turn things around,
sure.
But a lot of negativity from Nationals fans.
Tom
writes, getting to the
with?
Point, you can't look back anymore. Straight opinion, this is on Rizzo, who I like a lot. Hard to basically bring back the same group of guys and change them from a team that utilizes analytics to an analytically based team. I don't know if that's the problem.
I don't even understand what
you're Another guy says, Richard, they don't have a chance to turn it around. This team doesn't have it. They play sloppy, undisciplined baseball. Can't blame injuries for failure to place bunts, move runners, or throw to the right base. And then Joe writes, let me know when Money Metal Cakes busts out Titanic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the fact is,
probably not yet.
As Rizzo said on the show last week, they haven't had what was projected to be their starting lineup all year. They missed a bunch of games with Murphy, and Murphy coming back still hitting like .180. You know, he's clearly playing hurt. Eaton's playing well, but he missed a bunch of time. They haven't had Zimmerman for the most part. He was coming off, you know, arguably one of the best years of his career. You know,
why has Zimmerman been out?
Their catcher losing Weeders. They lost Howie Kendrick. No one talks about Howie Kendrick.
That hurt.
They lost him.
Yep.
Strauss just had a bullpen. He's missed a month now. Gio's coming back to earth. The only guy that's really been from day one till now has been Max, you know, in the rotation, who's been just like consistent.
That's true, but you have to just find a way. You know, every team has injuries.
Now,
maybe not as many as the Nats.
I would just compare them and say man games. Look at the man games. Now, they're starting to get guys back, but they're just not.
I mean, they've got guys back, and they're not playing well. Right.
If they didn't have Soto, they'd be under .500 for sure. They didn't have Soto, they'd be under .500 for sure.
Well, it's stunning halfway through the season they're two games above. Stunning.
It is. But again, they've had so many injuries, but you'd expect other guys. The Harper thing is still a head scratcher.
I thought he was breaking out when he hit the bomb, the opposite field bomb the other day. Yep. He was slowly ticking up for the in the previous seven games. He was hitting like 316, but I don't think he did that much since that bomb.
You're right.
It's not a hot streak. What would you do, Jason? You mentioned during the break.
No idea.
Make a trade for a second baseman?
I mean, there are a couple second basemen out there that are going to be free agents. Dozier in Minnesota is one. DJ LeMahieu in Colorado, who's a stud, is another. I don't know if that's a move you want to make. Do you want to go after another starter? Do you want to go after a catcher? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you this. Atlanta's not going away.
Yeah. Phone number is 800-636-1067. And I'd say
Philly's not going away. Philly probably isn't either.
Philly just beat you 2 out of 3 last weekend, beat you 3 out of 4 this weekend.
Right, now you have to face Boston here at Nats Park. How many games above 500 is Boston at this point?
25.
Yeah. So it doesn't get any easier.
Well, some of those teams, you know, you'll play them, and if you play well, they will go down some.
I get it, but why do you believe that you'll beat them head-to-head? You haven't been beating them head-to-head recently.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just saying if they play up to their ability, then they don't worry about the other teams. They're just playing way below, you know,
but
their ability.
But think about it. I mean, for you to make up 6 games, you got to go on a serious run here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Because unless the Braves start playing, you know, losing 7 out of 10 every, you know, couple weeks.
There's definitely cause for concern.
They're going to be difficult
going
to catch.
Going into the series against the Phillies, they ended up losing 3 of 4, right?
Yep.
Rizzo said it's as important a series as you could possibly have in late June. And they lost 3 of 4.
Somebody tweeted us in response to how do you turn things around. They would trade Bryce right now.
Well, they're not going to trade
Bryce. The problem with that is they're not going to wave the white flag and just trade Bryce. They're just not. They want to. They have every intention to try to win a World Series this year. And if you trade Bryce, your chances are going
let's way,
ease off
way down.
The World Series talk. They'd be lucky at this point to make the playoffs.
Right, but they're
true,
not going to. They're not going to acknowledge that. And
yeah, they're still trying.
When's the trade deadline?
31st.
There's time after the All-Star. It won't be done before the All-Star break. But if
they're just not going to be sellers,
and then you can trade them after the 31st.
They're just not
going to
be sellers. Yeah. They're not going to be sellers.
No, I would say they'd be buyers.
Yes, they're not going to be sellers.
I don't know how much you can buy. I don't know, you know, what they have other than the prospects we've seen.
The problem is, who do you want to bench? I mean, you'd like to have Weeders back.
Well, I guess
back.
The thought would be you trade away guys who you don't think are going to be part of the plan next year.
Well, that's that would be waving a white flag. They're not going to do it. They're just absolutely not going to do that with 60 games left or whatever is left when that trade deadline passes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 0% chance.
Well, who do you want to play at second?
Daniel Murphy, I guess, because he's your best bat, even though he's hitting 180. I mean,
you don't want to play Defoe over Murphy right now,
I mean, maybe.
Knowing what you've seen out of Murph?
I don't know.
How's Murphy looked on? Has he played second base in the field?
He played once.
I think once or twice.
He played once this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they've been able to, like, play him at DH,
well, didn't
play
he play,
him at first base.
Didn't he play second yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I only saw the
last few
innings.
I think you have to play
innings.
Him at second base and just hope that he gets hot.
I think he'll hit.
The lineup is the problem. The lineup is atrocious right now Bryce Harper should be your top hitter or second behind Murphy. So Murphy and Bryce, those are your best two hitters, hitting 182 and 216.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's atrocious. I mean, they're just not capitalizing. Guys are getting on base. I mean, Eaton's hitting 300. Turner's got his average up to close to 280.
Rendon's been on fire.
Rendon's close to 300. Soto's hitting, you know, I know he went 0 for 6 yesterday, but he's hitting over 300. I mean, they got some guys who are hitting the ball and getting on base, but they're not capitalizing. Now, Bryce, that's the one guy that you need.
You can almost make the argument that Bryce is killing him.
Right.
You can almost make that argument.
Because he's got guys on base a lot, and he's striking out, or he's grounding out to the shift.
And I
don't know. I don't know what Nats fans want to do. Give us a call, 800-636-1067. They're not going to trade Bryce. If there were 16 games out, all right, I could see them doing it. 6 games out, they're not going to trade him.
What if they're 11 games out by the time of the trade deadline, a day or two before the trade deadline?
That means they're just free-falling.
Yeah.
Then there's more of a possibility, but I still don't see it.
Because at that point, you've already had the All-Star game.
Yep.
That's in the rear view, and it doesn't look like you're making the playoffs, and you don't think you're going to re-sign Bryce. I would entertain trading him.
I just don't see Mike Rizzo waving the white flag.
I would certainly take calls to see what people are offering.
I was surprised at the responses on Twitter. Here's another guy. It's over. Blow it up. Get pieces for 34, and let's give it another go in 19. Another person writes, get healthy. Stop making boneheaded outs on the base paths. We talked to Mike Rizzo about that last week. He said, well, They're aggressive. They lead the National League in stolen bases, and they lead the league.
But he also
in most
said they
got to
be smarter.
Yeah.
They got to stop running into outs.
Right.
Which, of course, they have to. But that's been a problem that's been plaguing this team for a couple years, to be honest with you. They're kind of silly
and
on
then
the base pass.
What, so I wanted to ask this. What is going on with Zimmerman? He's been out for 7 weeks.
I don't know. Apparently, he's trying.
That was a 10-day deal.
I heard they had to convince him to go on a rehab assignment. He might be getting closer, uh-huh. But he doesn't even want to. That dude does not get sized for spring training. He doesn't get sized for rehab assignments.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to get his body better. Maybe he just wants it to naturally heal.
I don't know. I think he just thinks if I'm healthy, I'm good to go. I don't need that stuff.
I mean, luckily they picked up Reynolds. Because think about it. When Matt Adams broke his finger, I mean, Reynolds has been playing every day. And I know they played Murphy a couple times at first, but Reynolds has basically been playing every day. If they didn't have Reynolds, what would they do at
first?
Here's
another bulletin on Zim. Sorry, he's old. He's old, and his body is starting to show signs of the wear and tear, and it's harder to come back.
It is
when
true.
He's going to be 34 in September.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take your calls. Do you believe the Nationals, like many people, are done and cooked, and this is just not going to be year that they make the playoffs? And what do you think they need to do to turn this thing around? 800-636-1067.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106 of the Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Talking about the Nationals, who are now 42-40, 6 games back in the NL East. Surprising based on the personnel, based on the division. We assumed weak division. And maybe it is a weak division. Maybe that's why they're only 6 back. If they were in other divisions, they'd be much further back.
The Mets are awful and the Marlins are bad. I don't think it's a weak division. From top to bottom, because I think the Braves and Phillies are pretty good.
It's a division they feasted on the last 2 years. They're not doing the same. I believe they're 3 under .500 against
the division.
I don't
think anybody thought that the Braves would be this good.
Right.
No one thought that, you know, guys like Nick Markakis would have an all-star year. And some of their young pitchers are playing really well. But the bottom line is they're not playing as well as everyone thought.
Well, June was a disaster.
Six games is a lot in July.
The month of June was a disaster.
Yes, it was.
Now, entered June, things were looking pretty good. And then June happened.
Well, you better put your big boy pants on for the next 3, because even though Boston got pounded a couple times up there in New York, you know, and you don't have to face Sale or Price, although Price sucked yesterday or last night, but Boston's got a lineup, and they can feed. Now, Scherzer should do well against their lineup, but, you know, Boston can pound Roark, and they can definitely pound Fetty.
Well, it doesn't matter if Scherzer does well. He doesn't get run support.
That's true.
I think his last 4 starts, he's had 2 runs. Of run support.
That's
think
true.
About that.
I don't know. It's weird.
You can't,
this lineup
can't
should
waste
be able to
that
hit.
Sort of effort by Max.
The thing that scares me is, as somebody pointed out last week, one of our guests, I can't remember who, might have been John, but in years past, when the Nats have won the division and gone into the playoffs, they've kind of been like a wire to wire. Like, they've been great all year.
Right.
The years where they missed, they've been years like this. They haven't had a year in this era where they've come back from this and won the division.
Yeah.
Do you know what
They're
I mean?
Not used to doing it.
Yeah. So usually when it's like this, this is kind of how it is.
Well, not only that, but you also have a rookie manager who has to make important decisions in a year where you have to come back from 6 games down. I mean,
yeah.
And there are definitely question marks with Davey.
I'm not sophisticated enough to question him. I just don't know. I know our producer, we had Doug on last week, and he was upset with some things.
Well,
maybe.
I mean.
But I
He changes the lineup every single day.
Well, he's trying to get a spark.
I know.
He's just trying to get a spark.
I know. I was responding to people on the zip line. He probably doesn't know how to fix it. He's just doing whatever he can.
Well, if he knew how to fix it, he would.
Yes. Yeah. Zip line, also known as Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067 if you want to text Jason.
You got Bryce in this impossible slump. Literally, Bryce is killing the team. And you got Murph playing hurt.
got a bunch of guys playing.
Trying to work his way back into, you know, some sort of form
Strasburg,
on one leg.
You can never count on Strasburg.
Strasburg's just going to always be on the DL.
And Zim's been out forever. Did he have 36 taters last year?
He had an unbelievable year last year.
He had 36. Year. He's got five this year.
Right. Never plays.
He's missed a ton of time.
Guy never plays. Yeah.
Davey well,
the
Martinez,
Strasburg deal, you
82
kind of
games
know.
In, welcome to the hot seat. You're sitting on it.
You kind of
right
know
now.
Strasburg's going to be on the DL every year.
Right. Yeah.
You just know that. And
he's going
to
need a break.
They still sign him to this long,
I know.
Huge contract.
Because he's great when he's there.
Okay, but in a year now that where you're down six and you're not playing as well, you need him.
Well, he'll be back soon. He was playing catch this week, and he had a bullpen.
All right, that means he's 2 weeks away.
Maybe. All right, let's go to the phones. A bunch of people want to weigh in. A lot of negativity on the Nationals because they're sitting at 42-40. We keep waiting for them to turn it around and get hot.
All right, let's go. Let me see. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Ashburn. Mary Ellen, good morning. Y'all with a joke.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Fine, thanks. What we need to do is stop having two automatic outs for 8th and 9th batters. We need to get Wilson Ramos back. Mm-hmm. He's hitting over 300, and he's hitting taters. And we got our catcher Severino's doing nothing.
Right.
And we just have two automatic outs.
Yeah.
And so we have to have some production from our catchers. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we need to get Ramos back. We never should have let him go in the first place, but he's productive hitter, batter, and we need to get someone in that position.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know how easy that
Thank
would
you,
be,
Mary
but
Allen.
Catcher's definitely a position of need.
And that's
now.
Like the worst production in the majors at that position, at catcher.
That's
the
definitely
worst.
Hurting him.
What is Weider's status?
Hamstring injury. Just not ready.
He had a surgery, right?
I think he had a surgery.
And here's the status. He's old.
Well,
or he's older.
But he was playing a little bit better, but it wasn't significant.
Right.
He was hitting it better, but they were encouraged, but he wasn't lighting the world on fire. I think he was hitting about 240.
But his surgery wasn't knocking him out for the whole season.
No.
But I do think it was August
timeline.
I think
it was a 6 to 8 when he got hurt. I think they said 6 to 8 weeks.
This is a significant injury.
Let's go to... Believe me, the last thing they want is Severino starting every day.
Yeah. And this Spencer Keyboom, you know, I think he was like a first or second round draft pick a couple of years ago. I mean, he's not hitting much better. He's hitting like 190 or 200 himself. Let's go to Lee Alexandria. Lee, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Two weeks ago, I was in Cincinnati, and I got to see 3 out of 4 of those games where they eventually swept the Cubs. It was really interesting to see what Cincinnati is doing. I know they're at the bottom of that tough division, but they're on a tear right now. And look at how many grand slams they've hit in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They've hit more grand slams than anybody in baseball. And one of the reasons is because they get people on base. And they were up and down the entire line. They were spraying hits all over the field. They were not relying on the long ball. And I think one thing that the Nats really need to focus on is runners in scoring position. That's one thing that they can really focus on. There are many, many issues,
right. But
look at yesterday. They laid down two bunts. Two guys got on base. They've got to start playing more small ball and not relying on home runs because they go into a place like Tampa. They think, oh, piece of cake. Tampa has great pitching. They just swept the Astros, I believe. And they can't just go into some of these places and think, you know, they're going to hit home runs because they're running into some great pitching that is not going to let that happen. And they've got to get on base.
Hmm.
That's one thing that they can look at.
Well, part of getting on base is just hitting to your capabilities. And, you know, let's just focus on the two stars in the lineup, Bryce Harper
and
Daniel Murphy. 182 and 216. They're not getting on base because they're not hitting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you get those top two guys on base, Eaton and Turner, and if Bryce is going to strike out or if they're going to pitch around them, you need guys to step up. It's not taking advantage of situations, and certainly since June 1st, they have not. They've stranded so many guys, and Bryce is one of the reasons, but it's not just him.
I'm trying to find that stat. I can't find it in their sort of the basic stats. You know, what they're hitting with runners in scoring position, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll find it for you.
Let's go to Chris in Leesburg. Chris, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Chris. Good morning, guys. I think we're the only five people working this morning. It's great out here on the road. Hey, you know, I agree with the injuries, but to me, historically, this team has always had a problem hitting in a timely situation. Mm-hmm. This goes back to Davey and through Matt Williams. When they most need a hit, I don't care whether it's a starter or a sub, they just fail to do so, and that continues to plague. But I think one of the real issues that they have is really Gio and Rory. When you're not hitting the ball, not getting people on base, a 3-0 lead is hugely important to maintain. And you just can't walk three guys in an afternoon or in one inning and expect to win, especially when you're not putting people on base consistently. So the fact that he would go out there and implode inning after you go up 3-0, it's just unbelievable. And he's got a history of doing this. And Rourke, to me, Rourke's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of this rotation. And he's the kind of guy that'll throw for 215, two picks and a touchdown, and they may win, they may lose. But by week 14, you're like, I can't believe this guy's a starter in the league. And he's our starter.
Well,
and
he's been historically in the past. But I think you have to look with Gio. He was great before the last month. Really, the last month has been a disaster for most of the team. Because Gio entered June with a 2.3 ERA.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
now he's walking everybody.
In June like 8, something like that.
Yeah. Might so be I found higher. It. So with runners in scoring position, they're hitting .246. Now, I don't know where that ranks, but that doesn't sound very good. With runners in scoring position and two outs, they're hitting worse, .236. Close and in late games, they're hitting .218. With bases loaded, they're hitting .235.
Not great numbers.
They certainly don't jump out at you as impressive. That's for sure.
Can you check Harper's numbers on those? Mm. Can you go into him individually?
Yeah, I might be able to find that.
I'd love to know what he's hitting with runners in scoring position.
Let's go to Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
Good morning, Junkies. Thanks for taking my call. I want to thank you for not defending Harper like a lot of other commentators all around the D.C. area do.
What do you mean? I mean, he's a great player. He's having a terrible year.
I'd say he's a good player having a terrible year. Does he deserve to make the All-Star team?
This year? Probably not. Although he's still up there in home runs.
Yeah, he make the All-Star team?
Yes. Well, he's popular.
Well, fan vote, but that doesn't mean anything.
He'll be a starter.
That doesn't mean anything. I wouldn't put any stock in that.
I don't even think he's the best outfielder on the Nationals.
Not this year. Juan Soto is.
Yeah.
But he's just having a bad. Every other year he is.
So if you put Soto, Taylor, and Eaton in the outfield, don't you have a better chance to win?
Nah, because you still need his bat. I mean, you would hope that he's going to break out of this, but he's still a threat.
So, Pete, suggesting just benching Bryce.
I'm suggesting trading Bryce for a very good starting pitcher and a quality catcher.
Well, I mean, how do you know you're going to get a very good starting pitcher? I mean, who do you want?
I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't pretend to know more than Rizzo or Martinez. I'm just saying, as a fan, it just seems to me like Bryce's value is only going to go down instead of up.
Why would a team give you a very good starting pitcher, especially a young one, if you know Bryce is going to be a free agent at the end of the year? I'm not sure that a team's going to give up a very good starting pitcher. Now, you might be able to get like a Cole Hamels type.
That's his armchair GM package.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you get like a veteran, but I just don't see him doing it.
Who do they have at catcher?
Who?
If you get Cole Hamels in their catcher.
Oh, I don't know what catcher you'd get. I just don't think it's a very feasible.
Here's the thing.
I don't think it's feasible. You're going to trade Bryce Harper and get a starting pitcher and a catcher.
Bryce is having a terrible year, but if he duplicates, he's played 81 games. If he duplicates the second half, he'll finish with 40 bombs and 98 RBI. Okay? That's pretty good. The average is poopy. He's got to be better. All on-base percentage, all that stuff's got to be better. But still, for a pretty much a catastrophic year for him, he's still putting up some significant numbers.
He's batting .245. You know what I mean?
He's a power threat. Yeah.
In scoring position.
He's still a feared hitter.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
But maybe teams are starting to pitch him differently because
I think
he's
also the switch or whatever.
The shift.
The shift is just killing him.
Yeah.
And at Boris, did you see that?
Agree.
Boris is on record.
I know.
What's that
guys,
make it illegal?
All these people want to make the shift illegal. Like, what is the rule? I saw somebody point it out. They're like, are you not allowed to now have your shortstop, like, move a little left or right?
Yeah, they
you
want
can't
to
position
have,
your outfielders.
You can't have more than two on each side.
That's ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't quite understand the rationale, but he had some. The rationale was something about the way lefties are taught to hit and starting in the youth leagues. In a different way than righties are.
Now you're blaming the youth coaches.
Well, no, he's just saying it's unfair to all lefties, more so than righties.
Great hitters should be, even lefties, should be able to hit to all fields.
He says a 20%, 20-point penalty. But Bryce is way lower than 20 points.
Stop hitting ground balls. Hit balls to the gap.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I thought he was breaking out.
He's hitting to the shift. He's hitting right at the second baseman. He's hitting ground balls right at the second baseman.
That's why I thought he was breaking out when he hit that opposite field bomb. I thought that was just such a good sign. But
it's not his natural swing.
Yeah, but he can so do that. I don't know. It's very frustrating. Yeah, Cakes is on it. It's weird. With nobody on, Bryce is hitting 194. He's actually better with runners on base. He's hitting 260 with runners on base. He's hitting 194 when no one's on.
Well, with no one on, they're pitching him around. They're not giving pitches to hit. That would make a little bit more sense.
Somehow he's got 15 bombs with nobody on base.
When guy's on base, he's got to see some pitches.
Yeah.
But
why pitch to Bryce when you can pitch to Murph?
Yeah, I'd be looking at pitching him all day long. He's batting 200 since he's come back.
Here's the problem. In March, he hit 333. Now it's only two games. In April, he hit 241. In May, he hit 221. In June, he hit 188. I mean,
disaster. And didn't he go from 10 home runs to 2?
Yes.
He
hit 8 in April.
188 in June?
188 in June.
JP,
he hit 8 in
still,
April. He hit 10
still
in May.
Feeling confident about your Nats win 6 games in a row before the end of the year?
At some point.
At some point, they got to get hot.
Well, I'll tell you what. Our sweat bet is done. We're going to hand that money over
done.
Right now.
You know what? I was going to say I'll pay you $200 tomorrow. I'll wait till the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm not saying. But I'm saying it's a loss.
I'm ready to just ship it to you.
Yeah, it's a loss.
It's a big fat loser.
It's scary. They're digging quite a hole. I don't know, you know. I don't know the answer. They're digging quite a hole. Let's go real quick. I know we got to get a break. Let's go to Kevin.
But the camel at spring training getting over the hump, EB.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Kevin, what's up?
Two things and then a question. I think the one good thing that the Nats are situation they're in is that neither team ahead of them, they're good teams, but they're not great. I don't think they're going to pull away. You know, the further they fall back is just because the Nats are losing. It's not because the other teams are winning a lot. So I think they can wait till the last minute to pull the trigger if they want to make a trade. And I still say Michael Taylor, if you want to get a good hitter, he's the one you trade. And then the other question I got is why do they let Murphy work his way back into hitting good at the major league level? Why don't they leave him in the minors longer to try to work out his
game? I agree. They're desperate for his bat.
That's what it was. They were desperate for him to get back.
I think it looks bad, him limping around.
If he can't hit, he can't hit.
I know. He's not right.
Right.
But if they were 6 games up, maybe they would have given him a longer rehab stint.
But
maybe they thought he was right.
No, they knew.
If they were 6 games up, I would think that would be more of a reason to let him work it out.
I think they simply thought he could hit on one leg. And unfortunately, that hasn't proven to be true so far.
Yeah. He's not helping him a lick.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's an act of desperate. They're so good with injuries. They treat their players so well in terms of putting them on the DL at any sign of any discomfort or any sign of any injury. Mm-hmm. But with Murph, they're throwing him out there, and it looks awful.
But again, they've never been in this situation before.
Yeah. It's a sign of desperation.
Yep. And they've got to put something together here soon. Now, the schedule does ease a little bit after the Red Sox because you've got the Miami Marlins for 4, and then I think you got Pittsburgh, and then you've got
the Mets. Before the All-Star break.
So it eases up, but, some of these teams that they're, ahead of in the schedule, in the standings, they're still losing to.
Remember, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll get back into LeBron's move to L.A. and what it means to the Wizards. Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington joins us at 8 here on The Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Our favorite hang of the year is coming up less than 2 weeks. You can join us on 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress party. Saturday, July 14th starts at 4. Brought to you by Corona. Corona is what summer wants. Enjoy and relax responsibly. Get all your details at thefandc.com/summer. Speaking of summer, apparently one of the big summer trends for women who wear bikinis is now the upside down bikini is what they're calling it. And it is, we've put some pictures on our Facebook page if you want to check it out, facebook.com/thejunks, because the description itself doesn't do it really service. But picture the cleavage of a woman. It usually is showing on the top because most of the material of the top, if a woman is wearing a bikini, is on the bottom. And what they're doing is they're just flipping it so that the bottom is now just a string and you just see a lot of underboob.
Yeah, it's playing up the underboob instead of the top boob.
But the pictures he gave us, these are all supermodels. You don't see these girls at the beach or the pool.
You didn't see that at Bald Head.
When's the last time you saw that girl?
Yeah, you didn't see that Bald Head over the weekend?
No, Ocean City's littered with all those sillies.
Yeah. If you do see that silly, would you prefer to see that versus the traditional? I guess it's kind
of
hotter.
I'd like to see none of it. About that? About no bikini top?
You want to go to a topless beach?
Better than that.
Did you just describe how they're doing it?
Yeah, they're flipping it and they're highlighting the underboob.
Right, but are designers actually making them this way yet?
That I'm not sure because I'm trying to think.
It looks like they're just flipping them around.
String that's on the bottom, is that always there on the top?
I don't know. I don't know enough about bikini
tops. That's
got to
be the way they've designed those.
No, a lot of these, the girls are just,
They're just flipping them?
And they're just taking the straps and doing it across.
This is believed to be invented by Italian model Valentina Fratagreta. That simply ties a knot at the top of their chest with the halter straps and separates the triangle portion of the material.
It's actually a stroke of brilliance on her part. She really should get some design credit
here. It looks nice, but how is it functional? Like, how does it hold
for pictures? That's all it's functional
for.
Yeah,
it's for the gram.
Swimming laps in
it doesn't
that.
Support the jugs.
No.
Yeah, it's not about
again,
support.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous move. You can't really, like, walk around the beach like that.
No. Facebook.com/thejunks.
Your headlights are going to fall out.
There's no chance she can boogie board wearing that.
No.
It's
going to be all kinds of falling out of that thing.
Seems to be big for Instagram models.
Right.
The phenomenon of social media Instagram models.
Yeah, girls who can pull it off.
How are you going to go down the slides at Jolly Rogers wearing that?
It's going to be awfully tough. You're going to give like a Polish lifeguard the thrill of a lifetime.
It says, so far, all the girls that are involved in this trend appear to be from Europe and specifically Italy.
So there are
going there in a few weeks.
So there are no American girls that are doing this.
Apparently hasn't picked up in the old U.S. of A.
At Sensations, they're going to start flipping the tops around when they sell their bikinis.
Right.
By the way, an update on kind of a non-sports story that we talked about last week. Remember we talked about that study at Missouri State University where one professor was seeking photos men.
Yeah.
And
Dr. Valdez.
Yes.
Running a course at Mizzou State.
And it was anonymous. Apparently, there was such an uproar and such a response, they've had to call it off. Just too much heat at Missouri State University. They've cut the project short.
Well, is it because of the outrage or there was a lack of...
Did you see his penis?
Pics. Mostly from the outrage.
Outrage, yeah.
Right. Well,
the teacher says she blamed the public reaction for the decision to terminate the research into how penis size impacts factors such as personal relationships, sexual
You had a lot of hog talk last time.
Condom usage.
Did you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Good shows.
So Bish Bucks goes to Bald Head, you bring out the hog talk.
Yeah, I mean, the Caps won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
The Nats are in a free fall. So what do you turn
There's
to?
Not that much left.
Dog talk.
That is true.
Couple weeks
It was Tiger Week and Hog Talk.
Right.
A couple weeks away from the
Some would say they go hand in hand.
Right.
Funny.
By the way, with the Capitals, our guy Jay Beagle's gone.
That yesterday and I was bummed.
Hey, you know what?
But happy for him.
Happened to a nicer guy, a guy that just puts in so much work to have as long a career as he's had in the NHL and for a bidding war to basically erupt between two or three teams, the Canucks being the one that ultimately won out. I feel happy for
the
guy.
I'm just glad that there are teams that recognize that, you know, and the hard work he does. He's just a blue-collar guy.
Yeah.
You need guys like that on your team.
By the way, Cakes was pretty close when I got into his pockets outside of the bathroom at the parade.
Right. You said,
years,
9 million 3 years,
like 9, 10 million is what you're gonna get on the market. He's like, nah, don't worry, I'll be back. Something along those lines. Good for him.
I wonder how close they were to getting him back. So it doesn't seem like it.
I don't think they're close at all.
He told them from the beginning. McClellan told Beeks from the beginning, I don't think we're going to be able to get there because
they couldn't get to $12 million.
No, we're just not going to be in the running.
I don't think they're comfortable paying that amount of money for a fourth line center.
I think they would have done it if they didn't have to spend on Carlson and the other guys.
But again, they keep the top four defenders and top nine forwards.
Yeah, Kempney signs a deal, 4 years, $10 million.
And then Reardon was finally inked over the weekend.
Right.
So we knew that that was happening. It's funny, I saw somebody tweet this, and it's true. I'm not, you know, caps aficionado that I study the assistant coaches and who's who behind Barry Trotz.
Did you fall for it, too?
I thought the bald guy was Reardon.
The fully bald guy?
Yes.
No, that's the, is it Blaine Forsythe?
Yeah.
I think that's him.
For some reason, that's who I thought was until the announcement.
Yeah, and the dreamier coach, the guy with the long hair and the beard, that's Lane Lambert. Different guy.
Hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people thought that Reardon was Lane Lambert. Not the case.
No, I thought Reardon was the bald guy.
Reardon is the bald guy that needs to shave it all off.
Yeah, but not the one with the cleanly.
Not the fully bald
guy. Right,
dog.
Fully bald guy.
But it does mark just another Junkies regular, specifically with our cap segment that moves on.
Yeah. It happens
Brooksy
all the time.
For years, and then eventually he was moved. We had Alsner, and then he left. We had Beegs, he left, and we had Trotz.
Correct. The quadfecta.
I mean, we got nothing. We're all out.
Yeah, if I'm a Caps player and they say, if you guys want to go on the Junks and do a weekly segment and we'll pay you during the season, I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah, but you know what, Cakes? Three of those four all got big paydays afterwards. The only one that didn't was Brooksy.
Hey,
the only one
that didn't. About an hour ago,
have Reardon on, I would assume. Yeah.
I'd like to get Tom Wilson as our weekly.
Well, that'd be great. About an hour ago, we spent some time talking about Tiger Woods in the tournament this weekend. He finished fourth and was great. I don't think Valdez wants to highlight this because Drab apparently has even the score in terms of somebody yelling out his name.
Oh,
we have audio of the Drab t-shirt.
Well, there's two sets of audio.
Well, hold on. I heard one last week, but it wasn't on air.
Thursday, someone shouted my name with some donk with nobody in the crowd. And of course, it wasn't on TV.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I said, you got to get it on TV or it doesn't count.
Yeah. Got to do it on Saturday
and
or
so
Sunday.
On Tigers 16 or 17 on Saturday.
17, the par three.
Yelled it. And we have the version not on TV and then the version on TV.
To compare?
To compare. It's not as silly on TV, but
you can hear it.
You can hear it if you listen closely.
You got to listen really closely?
Very closely.
All right.
So this is the raw version.
Drab t-shirt!
Oh, that is really well timed too.
But that's a guy that's
just Twitter.
So that's him videoing it from.
Let me hear the strike of the ball again.
So, well, that was the raw version.
He wants to hear it again. He wants to hear the raw again.
Drab t-shirt!
By the way, Valdez has always been diminished by Drab, who claims that when the person shouted Valdez that he, in fact, is not actually shouting Valdez.
Oh, well, it's clearly Valdez. It's clearly just jealousy.
Yeah.
Just jealousy.
All right, so now
so here's the CBS broadcast.
This club could bring long into play.
Got about 4 yards long before he runs out.
Oh, there's so many people yelling.
He got stepped on.
Yeah,
but he got the Drab part.
I just don't know why you would go to Tiger's hole to do that.
Because they only cover Tiger.
No one
else is getting coverage.
What an Italian donk.
They barely covered him.
He could have gone another guy.
Let's hear that again.
But that would have looked stupid to scream. No one's there.
Let's hear the Drab.
Got about 4 yards long before he runs out.
Hit those jerks.
Got muffled.
Can they stop?
Muffled. Now play the Valdez from a couple of years ago. The Valdez is so much better.
Although I'm starting to lean towards Drab side that you don't hear a Z. It's
doesn't
like
matter. He's just screaming out.
You barely heard Drab.
Yep. Tiger going with the iron. Just a little smooth 3-iron here yesterday.
That's clearly a Valdez. There's no doubt about it.
Where did that tournament take place?
Congressional.
Okay.
Was there no deafening crowd there for that? Yet when the guy yells Drab.
I think shouting is the new hot fire now. Like shouting wasn't as hot back then,
right,
as it is now.
Just as soon as they hit the ball,
Baba Booey, Drab,
so
Valdez, mashed potatoes.
I don't understand when they putt the ball, these guys scream, get in the hole. I hate that. Well, what are they doing? They just want attention.
They've been
it.
Drinking since the second they step foot on the course.
But they're all just annoying people.
Jason,
hey,
there was a
people. These
Jason, there was
fans.
A guy following Tiger, and it was 100 degrees out, and a full Tiger onesie.
Yeah. Like, I saw a picture of him.
He had to have been sweating.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Had the tail and everything?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was 1,000 degrees out there.
Attention dollars.
Walking right. around.
Tiger definitely gave him a ball.
I would hope he gets heat stroke.
No. I don't know what good the ball does you when you're in the hospital.
All right, we open up the show talking about LeBron deciding to move to L.A. We'll talk about what it means for the Wizards next with Wizards insider Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.